take away from the look of it, but it actually adds to it. he does say, if you ask him, he may show you angels and demons and stuff. I've never seen any. Years ago, I started feeling sorry for myself. Somebody after one of the services said, did you see all those angels all across the front worshiping with us? And I sort of got provoked in a bad sense. I was like, dude, I'm the pastor here and I don't even see them. You know, this isn't right. And, you know, what do you do? Just, oh, yeah, I could see them. You know, just make it up. And you just trust God and move on. And so it's funny how some people's eyes are naturally easily open and others the Lord just has to open them. But they're around us all the time. And I've heard them before. I've never seen them. And you can sense when they're there. But they're helpers. Main thing is seek after the Father. Seek after the Holy Spirit. He sends them when we need them. There's a teaching going around that I'm not going to say is wrong. I can't do it for me. I don't see it in the Bible. There's a lot of books in the Christian bookstore about commanding your angels to go here and asking them to do that. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. That's my personal thing. I find that they're always coming and helping the saints, but the Father commissioned them to do it. The Father sent them. So this is the deal. The Holy Spirit's much greater than the angels. You're actually greater than the angels, the Bible says, in terms of spiritual authority. Walk with the Father God. Walk with the Holy Spirit. And when you need angels, they're going to show up. Just call out for Jesus. Just call out for the Holy Spirit. And if He wants to do it Himself, if He wants to send angels, if He wants to guard them, we appreciate angels. We appreciate faithful up here. We appreciate all that. I'm not downplaying that, but they're ministers to us as the Lord gives us direction. But I appreciate these sound panels. It does sound better, and we needed that. And it's just a lot of work. It's like the drum thing that they did last year. It's just a lot of work to build these things and put the five. You know, we had to put all the. It's not just building it, but hooking up five microphones in there to the soundboard and getting it all back there. But slowly but surely, it all makes a difference and makes an improvement there. Talking about Calhoun, probably most of you know that don't know. The Lord led us to go down to Calhoun. Vicky went with us. Mike Thompson went with me 12 years ago. And so for 12 years, we've been sowing seeds into Gordon County. And some of the most profound spiritual experiences I have had has been in that city. And some of the best prophetic words that we have gotten for this region. Because I know that the Lord wants us to affect this whole Northwest region, not just this county, but Murray, Catoosa, Walker. You know, how that happens, I don't know how that'll work out. Gordon and down at Somerville where you were. But however that is, it's in the Lord's control. But we had a Sunday morning service down there for 12 years. Make a long story short, there are seasons for everything, and there are times for everything. We felt at this time that it was time to stop the Sunday morning service, and we'll morph that thing into a small group setting and some community outreach and however the Lord leads, and who knows where to go in the future. It's just, I tell you what, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, you got to be flexible. Amen. Especially in this times. I think we're just at the very beginning of the flexibility. I'm not preaching on this today, but I'm telling you, there is a shaking coming to the church in America. A shaking where we stop playing our games, and why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing it to worship Jesus Christ and to be a Jesus follower and for Him to impact our lives and our lives to impact the world as He walks with us, or are we doing something else? And that's not my job. We just keep our hearts right. But I'm telling you, we've seen some shaking. There'll be more shaking coming up. I think the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see a very large part of America shaken in many different ways, especially financially and economically. We can't keep doing what we're doing, can't keep living on the credit card. Eventually, the guy that owns the credit card says pay off. But if you're walking with God and His will, and walking as close to Him as you can, I tell you, He'll get you through. He'll get you to where you need to be. You may have to tweak some things. You may have to change some things. But what He's doing is getting us to the place where we build our house on a rock. Amen. Instead of sands. Amen. See, sand is just little tiny rocks. And so a lot of people can have a little bit of truth here and there, and they're living on little bits of truth here and there. But we got to live on the rock, which is Jesus Christ and the whole Bible, not just little truths here and there. And so we just stay close to the Lord. But anyway, there were several people who were part of that congregation, the Rogers and Vicky and some other people that's not here today. And so you'll see them coming up here. And we'll just see where all this thing goes. Amen?
Amen.
We plan on being here week after week, but if the Lord says stop this on Sunday morning and do something else, we'll stop it and do something else. Why? We're not here to build anything. We're here to follow Him. And He moves all different directions and moves all different ways. Don't worry, there's no plans to do that. Today, who knows? We didn't plan on doing this in Calhoun 3 weeks ago. So, but you just hear the Lord and move on, and it's good. There will be much come out of Calhoun. There's actually two churches there, two small churches there, sown out of our leaders. There's two other churches. It's got leaders that were sown out of that place down there. I don't have time to go into it, but there's so much in terms of the area, the office of prophet that was prophesied into that region. We are going to see prophets raised up and still connect with us in one way, form, or another out of that area. There is too much prophecy for that not to happen. The Lord just showed me a long time ago. He said that the strongest prophets will come out of Gordon County. The reason is it's much more religious than this place is. It's much harder ground in terms of a religious thing. And the best way to stir up religious spirits is with apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets and religious spirits just do not get along. I want to see God move through man. And I want to see a revival, and I want to see things happen, and I want to see things done and make it happen. One little note, we for years have sent out a weekly email, and then I've sent out a blog once a week. I'm not going to do that anymore. The weekly email doesn't quite make as much sense to me anymore. We're just going to put all the schedule. I'll change the front of the website a little bit so that you know who's speaking, where the small groups are. You can just go to the website and find that. And I'll send it out when we have something out of the ordinary, something different going on, or a note or whatever. For 5.5 years, I've sent out a weekly blog. There's over 275 articles if you go to the Relationship Church website and end up at craigbcooper.com. That's a lot of stuff. Okay, that is a lot of writing. Now I'm just going to send it out when I want to send it out and it makes sense. I may do it every week. I may do it every 3 weeks. I may do it twice a week. So just stay on the emails. It's just going to be as more on an as-needed basis instead of a weekly bang, bang, bang type thing. Is that all right with you guys?
Yes.
All right, y'all ready to rock and roll here?
Yes.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for who and what you are. You are a great God, and you are positioning your people to make a difference in their lives and positioning your people to make a difference in the lives around them. And I thank you for who and what you are. In these next few minutes, I pray that you show me what to say, you have them hear what they need to hear, and make a difference in Jesus' name. Just one little side thing. I won't make you come up here, Tony. I asked Tony if he wanted to come up here, but it's just the Lord will use you wherever you're at. The Lord's given him a door into some AA meetings. He's going to very soon go into the Walker County Correctional Facility. Is that the right facility? And minister there. That's cool. So you a lot of times you look around and say, where's my mission field? As he told me this morning, he said, my mission field's all around me. And it's just neat. And so whatever you have, you may not be as mature as you want to be, or you may be as mature as you want to be. There's somebody that's less mature, at least in some areas of their life, that need what you have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And it is nothing better than seeing people's lives changed.
Hallelujah.
Than being around them. All right, today, Lord willing, we're going to finish up. This will be the third time I've taught on this. Notice maybe a third of you haven't, at different times, haven't been here on the other two times, so I'll do a review. But what I want to talk about today is to correct the most misrepresented person on the planet, and that's God the Father. It is amazing what a bad rap that the Father God gets. He is cursed. Even in the pulpits sometimes, he just doesn't get the right picture, like he's out to zap you. And you move the wrong way, and lightning bolts, the metaphorical lightning bolts are going to come down on you and kill you. And You know, and he's distant. A lot of times people think that he's just a distant God. Yes, I believe in a God. Yes, he created the world, but I can't get to know him. Sometimes people think of him as a judgmental type God. And it's just, I just want to do my best, plant some little seeds today as we probably, hopefully finish this thing up, to give a who the Father God really is. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, I'm here. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want to give you a new representation of the Father. And he came in at an extremely religious time. This was, you know, around the beginning of around 0 AD, or they call it CE now, Common Era, because they don't want anything to do with representing Jesus Christ. It's really funny. I've seen atheists when I, you know, you hear somebody, they say, well, it's the year 19 or 2014 AD, and they go, oh, CE. And I'm like, okay, fine, CE, whatever. But the 2014 didn't happen except through Jesus Christ. I mean, if you really want to get rid of them, you need to make it like 6 or 8,000 CE, because it's still, there's that pivot point. Jesus Christ just changed everything.
Hallelujah.
Just amazing what he did. And he came in at a very religious time where the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees were the religious system. We think it's religious now. It was really religious then. I mean, they had 630-something laws they had to follow. You could eat this, you couldn't eat that. You could be here, you couldn't be there. You had to wash your hands at this time and that. I mean, talk about oppression. And what they did is they were totally devoted to Father God, but he was distant. They called him, in the Hebrew word, they called him Yahweh. And they wouldn't even fully write out the word, because he was so holy, we can't have anything to do with him. And here comes this young whippersnapper, this young guy that calls himself a rabbi. Whenever somebody called him a teacher, it was the same word, rabbi. They were calling him rabbi, teacher, which just, oh man, if you were a part of the religious system, it just wrinkled your skin, buddy. It made you look like a prune. Life was not good. Here's this young whippersnapper they're calling a rabbi that did not go through our schools, did not go through our seminaries. Was not under a, you know, they have this whole system where you couldn't become a rabbi unless you were under somebody else. So it just messed them up. And so here's this young guy walking around, and then he, when he prays, he didn't say Yahweh. In the Greek, or in the, in our Bibles, a Greek word, call him Abba. That's sort of a strange word. The closest you can get to it today is like Papa, or maybe Daddy. What? If he wasn't supposed to die on the cross, he would have been dead. That was breaking a rule. You're being blasphemous, and how dare you think you can get close to this guy? How dare you, you think you can even pronounce Yahweh, let alone Abba? He just turned the carts up. You look at Jesus Christ, it's amazing what he did through nonviolent force. Last month, I stood in Aristotle Square and walked right down in Thessalonica, Greece, and walked down to the statue of Alexander the Great. You know, that's Greece's high point in history. And but have you ever read about Alexander the Great? I mean, they're all just loving Alexander the Great. The dude was brutal. He killed millions of people. Now, I know some things came out of that, but when you kill millions of people, you can make things come out of stuff. You think of Julius Caesar, who was the first non-elected, he was elected, but then he ended up becoming a emperor of Rome and expanded it. They all talk about Julius Caesar. He killed millions, laid waste to countrysides. The plus is they got the Roman culture there and the Greek thing everywhere, but it cost millions of lives. You know, you got to trade all this off. That's the side you don't typically read on history. Here's Jesus Christ, who's been more influential than any man in history, and he never led an army. He never led a crusade. He did it with ideas. And he died at 33. Of course, a lot of these guys died young. Alexander the Great died young. One of his ideas was Abba, Papa, Daddy, you can know the one who created you. See, we have a biological parents. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes we want to be around them. Sometimes we wish we had never been there. Maybe sometimes we don't even know who they were. Now, we were created to know biological parents and have a good relationship with them. But you know, there's also a spiritual seed inside of you. The New Agers, Zen, all the different things of yoga are all trying to get in touch with that spiritual side of you. That's what differentiates you from animals. You have a totally different kind of soul that's not on the instinct level. When Adam and Eve were created, well, he created all the animals and he created Adam and Eve, they weren't fully alive until he breathed in them his life. And so that spiritual part, he's a parent of. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that eternity is set in the hearts of every one of you. When you're quiet, you turn off the looking at the smartphones or listening to the podcast or watching Netflix, where you actually have to reflect a little bit. I think that's an art that I'm losing, is reflection. And it's something we need to practice. I'm not going to talk about it today, but every great creative work comes out of when you're reflecting and you're bored. You want to create something great? Get to the place where you're bored. I don't have time to go into it, but your brainwaves patterns change, et cetera, et cetera. But the point of this is here is when you're in that stage, that you know, I was created for more than just this. I was created to do, I was created to be, I was created to have a relationship with something more than just looking at my smartphone all the time. My natural tendency is when I get bored, start flipping. The iPhone twitch. I saw a study this week that says Americans today, by the time they die, would have spent 4 years looking at their smartphone. And I look at mine. That's not my point. But you need a point where you're bored. But sometimes we're afraid to be bored. Sometimes we occupy our minds with other things so we don't have to think about the things that are causing pain. But I challenge you to go there and say, Father God, why is this pain here? Why am I doing what's here? I want to know you intimately. We talked about six nevers. I wonder if I should use the handheld. If it does it one more time, I'll put... Oh, it's a standing and not a... Oh, it's a location. Okay, great. Stand back here. We need sort of a little hologram thing. You know, don't walk into the distortion zone. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, six nevers. We talked about, just a review, six nevers that I'm just going to go through real quick because they keep us... When we're quiet, whether it's good, boy, this distortion zone's growing. I'm just going to stand right here. How about that? If I can do that. I don't know if I can talk without walking. It's six nevers. See, a lot of times people don't want to call him Papa or Abba because they've had bad experiences with earthly fathers who are not a safe place. Or they've had bad experiences with spiritual authorities of some sort or another, which were not a safe place. I'm telling you, the first never we talked about is he will never abandon you. The second, he will never abuse you. He will never withhold affection from you. We need affection. Absolutely. Even guys need affection. Absolutely. We won't admit it in public, and I'm not saying this, but I've heard that guys need affection. It's funny, it's such a cultural thing. Have you ever been in a society where the men come up to you and kiss you on both cheeks? Oh, you have to go overseas or know somebody. It's very uncomfortable. And it's natural for them. See, so much of our stuff is cultural. He will never abandon you financially. He will never act in an unstable manner. He is a good God. And if you've been taught otherwise or experienced otherwise, how do I get past this? I can only talk so much until you have to just try it. Sometime when you're alone or you get the iPhone twitch or the pain, you feel the pain coming up. It doesn't have to be great pain. I mean, it could be great pain of abuse, or it could just be, my goodness, I'm not going to make my bill this week, or a lost relationship or a friendship. Instead of trying to distract our minds, if you're like me, I'd say, well, let me hurry up and get doing something different, sort of subconscious, is say, Father, Abba, here I am. Help me to know you. And you don't have to do a lot of talking. Just help me to know you. There's some ways to do that. Listen to some worship music. Sit quietly. Read your Bible. And a lot of this, for some of you guys, is real basic. But to start experiencing them, after 40 years of walking with him, I've never had him verbally berate me. I've never had him abuse me in some way. I've never had him be curt with me. I've had him correct me, but it's a correction that you know comes from a deep-seated love that's for the good of you in the right direction. Because it says in Hebrews, if you're son slash daughter of him, he's going to correct you. Why? Because some things just don't line up right in my life. Right. I didn't say that right, but you understand what I said. It's simple. Abba, Father. And he never gets tired of you being in his presence. You know, sometimes as parents, we get tired, our kids want to come and hang out with us, and we're tired and we want to go to bed. You know, and we do as much as we can, and we end up falling asleep or getting irritable or whatever. We want to be there, but our body just doesn't catch up. He's not in a hurry. But we have to carve out times in our day where there's some reflection. Maybe you wake up in the morning before you're half awake, and instead of, you know, this might not be the best time for you, but instead of turning on the news, just for 5 minutes, just say, Father, here I am. And what happens is once you start connecting with him and he starts speaking to you and teaching you, a stability comes into your life like you can never be talked into. A peace comes into your life like you can never be talked into. Teaching points you the way, but teaching does not get you there. You can come here week after week, and I can give you great teaching on this, or James, or Doreen, or who's ever teaching, but that does not get you there. You could go to Georgia Tech and become an engineer and get your degree, but until you step out and start doing it, you're not really an engineer. So teaching by itself just doesn't get you there. It points the way, and we need the pointers. And so this week, just take time every day. If you haven't done it by the end of the night, before you go to bed, say, I'm going to stop something and just be quiet and reflect. Well, I don't like the thoughts that I hear coming up in my brain. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
You know, that's why people drink a lot of times. That's why people do things they shouldn't do or get so busy. Busyness in the church is one of the great band-aids to keeping us from encountering God. We have to be careful. There's a time to work, but there's also a time to enjoy the fruits of the labor. And so during those times, I just challenge you to relax. Instead of going into fear, say, Father, because he says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but you're adopted as a son. I'm giving you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And during those times, just say, Father, he's not out to get you. If he was out to get you, you would have done gotten. I mean, we just need to get rid of that. If he wanted to do something to you, he would have done it. He knows where you live. He can find you. The reason he hasn't is he's not doing that. Well, doesn't he judge us? He judged his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And if you'll come up under that, that judgment for sin is gone. If you don't, then yeah, you are judged. But you're not judged yet. Why? Because if you're judged yet, we'd all be gone. This earth would be empty. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. And he saved you for relationship. Remember we talked about in Genesis 3, 8 and 9. We did this the last two times, and so this is a review. Adam and Eve sinned. And when Jesus Christ came back for that reflection moment, tie up the end of the day in the cool of the evening to talk to him. How'd your day go? What'd you do? What happened? You know, how'd your work go? He's interested in all of that. Years ago, when I was trying to get better at this, he said, Craig, you're always coming to me for what to do next. I never thought about it that way, but once he said it, was, yeah, you're right. And he said, that's okay. He says, I want servants. Servants take orders. You're a good order taker. You do whatever I tell you to. I never have to worry about it. That was a compliment. But how many of you knew there was something else coming? He said, but my friends, I just want to hang out with them, tell them why I'm doing it, and enjoy what's going on around them. There's servants. We never stop being servants. But there's friends, which is a higher level. Now, I don't have any servants. Do y'all have any servants? I'm not rich enough to have a housemaid or somebody cook my meals. If you do, bless you. Show me how. I would love somebody to come and do all that in my house. But, you know, they're going to take my orders. It's good. I don't want them to rip me off. Life's great. There's a certain relationship there. But they're not my friends. You know, where you just go and hang out. It's like James Spur of the moment. He likes a guy that was playing up at a little place up in Chattanooga Friday, called up on Thursday and said, do you want to go up there? And so we went up there and just hung out. We didn't talk about any projects. We didn't talk about anything to do. We just hung out and had a good time. Well, you know, Jesus, the Father God, does the same thing. Years ago when he said, you're great at taking orders, he said, just go outside and start talking to me and don't ask what to do. I didn't know what to do. How many of you can identify? And so he said, just start asking me, why did you make this tree this way? Or why did you create this or create that? Not always, but a lot of times he started answering me. Well, this is what I was thinking. That's cool. So as you're going through the day, go, Father, why did you make me this way? Or why? What's your purpose for Dalton? Or whatever. You know, why did I marry so-and-so? Or how did you create this or create that? As you would with a friend. And just start walking through these things as a friend to understand his thinking. Understanding his pattern, as we talked about. Well, anyway, so here they are in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. They went and hid. And in verse 8 and 9, he went to find them. He searched them out. Well, did he not know where they were? Of course he knew where they were. He was God. He asked these three little words, where are you? Well, he knew where they were. What was he talking about? He's talking about, where are you? I'm not connecting anymore. He knew physically where they were because he went to them. They were hiding behind a bush. You know, I could see this big bush, and they're hiding behind them with their little fig leaves on or whatever. And here's God on the other side going, oh, I wonder where they are. You know, I can't find them. I don't know how big the Garden of Eden was. He could have gone anywhere, but he went on the other side of the bush. Oh, distortion zone, sorry. What he was talking about, he goes, Gary? I pick on Gary because I know he's secure. Maybe he won't be after this, but he is now. Say he hasn't thought about God for 2 days because it's just stressful sometimes. How many of you ever been there? I mean, it's just stressful, too much to do in one day. Life's just not fun sometimes. Or even if it's fun, it's too busy. And I imagine he starts to lay down, go to bed. He may not say something exactly like this, but he'll say something about, Gary, where are you? Well, he knows where he is because he's talking to him. He's going, Gary, we didn't connect the last 2 days. We're best friends here. And we've not connected at all. See, that's a major part of the inheritance of being a Christian. He came, and Jesus said, I've come to save you not just from your sins, but to reconcile you with the Father. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes people don't want to be reconciled with the Father because of bad memories. We went through the nevers. Write them down. Just memorize them. Say he's never going to be that way. Some of the do's we went through, there's five do's that he does. We went through about half of them last time. He does love you unconditionally. That means he accepts you where you're at. Now, there's some teaching going around the body of Christ, which I personally don't agree with and think it's does probably more harm than good, although I understand their motive. And that is that once you're a Christian, you never have to worry about sin, or you never have to worry about living a righteous life or a holy life. You know that the blood of Jesus takes care of all that. It's often called hyper grace. And understand what they mean. And so there's this tension here that's hard. He always accepts you unconditionally. But he is a holy, righteous God, and as you walk with him, it starts rubbing off on you. It's like, here's my daughter here. I guess my other two kids are back here. She's 19, so she's an adult. It's not quite as big a deal. But when she was little, I always accepted her unconditionally. But if you know, she just insisted, I'm making this up, she just insisted on never doing her homework, I know it's going to hurt her down the road. So I'm going to require her to do her homework. But it has nothing to do with my love for her. It has everything with where I want to see her go. And so many times the Lord says, you know, if this area over here, you'll line up and clean up or redo it the way I designed you as a human, your life will be so much easier once you make the transition.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Years ago, as I shared before, people that came here when we first started said I did not preach hard enough. It took me a little while to figure out what that meant. You know, I didn't beat you. That's sort of what it meant. But they would give examples of, you know, I need admonition to not cheat and smoke and drink and do all this stuff. And I understand that, I guess. But, you know, if you just emphasize those things, you think that's where life is at. You can't do those things on your own for very long. You know, even AA, that's not necessarily a Christian organization, but it does talk about a divine power that you have to go to for help, don't they? I don't remember the exact words, but they acknowledge that. Huh? Higher power is what they call it. And so, yeah, you don't want to do those things because they will end up eventually wrecking your life. But you know, it's better to say, push into the Father and get to know Him. And He'll deal with these things when He wants to deal with them. And the difference is, He'll give you the power and the grace to overcome them.
Yes,
instead of just gutting them out.
There you go.
And He's doing it because He wants your life to be blessed as His life is blessed. And as we walk closer to His pattern, more blessings comes to us because He's always blessed.
Right.
You see the difference there? And so He does love you unconditionally.
Yes.
And it's just like the prodigal son's father. The prodigal son, you know, if you have never heard that story, it's in the Gospels. He was a son. He says, I want my inheritance now. He got his half of the inheritance. There was two sons. He went off and lived with prostitutes and did all kinds of different things. Ended up in a pig's trough. Well, his life wasn't blessed. Did his father have anything to do with that? No. But what happened when he came back to the father? The father was already on the edge of the property line looking for him. Every day it says he went looking for him unconditionally.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you can't make a kid do a homework. You can't make a kid not go with prostitutes. You can't do it, but you can do as much as you can. He still loved him unconditionally. And then when he came back to the father, he just received him in. Now he cleaned him up, gave him a new robe, etc., etc. And so wherever you're at, you're never too far from the Father. You just say, Father, I've done some stupid stuff. If you did stupid stuff on Friday, then wake up tomorrow and go, that was stupid. And he receives you back and helps you walk through to clean yourself up again. He always has your back. He does have your back.
Amen.
I don't have time to go through a lot of these. I'm just going to go through them. He does have your back. Maybe we won't finish today. He does give you identity. Our generation is so purposeless in America today. That's why everybody's so busy, because you're trying to hide purposelessness. There's no direction. What are we living for? It's basically we've inherited the evolutionary thinking, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die and we just become dust again. You were created for a reason. Ephesians 2 says that before the foundation of the world, before you were created in your mother's womb, He says, I made a list of good works for you to do. Things not to get my approval, but to satisfy the creativity in you to make a difference in the world and to affect the world. Every one of you have a natural creativity inside of you to do things and affect the world and cause things to happen, whether it's just your own little family or maybe a region, maybe even internationally, depending on the calling of your life. It's already there. The church sometimes, the devil sometimes, warps this thing into a bunch of rules and regulations, and it's just a perversion. But I'm telling you, you can't find those things without the Father. He's the key to unlocking them. That's why all the meditation, the Zen, the inward stuff, the divine within, they're on to something. But it can't be unlocked by you. It's unlocked by a partnership with the Father. He holds the key, not as a meanness, because He's going to give you the power to do it. And He's going to help you walk through it. The reason there's so many suicides, one of the reasons, and so many kids, and we have the highest incarcerated rate in prisons in the world. We're just all out of whack. One reason is because people do not know the Father, and they're trying to find it on their own. He has your back. He gives you identity. Number four, He gives you purpose. I know I'm skipping over these. Maybe I'll teach on them next time. He empowers you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, let's just stand. Father, Mike, would you